back to another episode of the No Filter Tattoo Podcast. It's the usual game. We are at episode 24.
You know who we are.
Right, right. We ain't even going to go
through
that.
Kobe the number?
Kobe episode. But today, we got a special guest, a multifaceted artist, tattooer over 6 years, currently at Atlanta Ink South. We got the great Paper Airplane Jane, a.k.a. just Jane.
Welcome to the show.
So, yeah, I'm just gonna do a little intro for people who don't may not know about you. You're known for like a very colorful brass style aesthetic tattooing. You got, you know, you do like your outfits, you know what I'm saying, on the reels on your page. So it's really cool. Like you have a very unique style, and that's yeah. So we appreciate you coming on the show. How you feeling?
I feel good. I feel good. I appreciate you. Thank you for the compliments. Yeah, I feel good being here.
No, you just got back from Space City, so how was that experience, you know?
Space City was great. I love Space City. Like, they always show love in Huntsville. Like, I cannot complain about Huntsville at all. Right. Like, it's always repeat people. They're always nice. Like, it's always consistent. And, like, the people who come around the booths, like, you know, sometimes you go to conventions and, like, people just want to come talk. But, like, they spend money, like, every time.
Nah, I think, like, the small towns like that, like, I mean, no shade, like, you know, Huntsville, it's a great town, but it is, like, smaller.
No, they were real good for walking when I went.
Like, ain't there, like, a military base or something close by?
Maybe. I'm not sure, to be honest.
I know it'd be a lot of military people in it.
But, yeah, no, definitely.
You get a lot of people from the hospital that work next door to it.
Oh, true.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's only, like, a limited amount of artists in Huntsville, too. So, you know, you bring something cool over there, they're definitely going to support.
Yeah.
It's Alabama.
They come back every year. Like, we get, like, the people that I saw last year, I saw, like, this year, and then, like...
So, you're building up that clientele over there.
Oh, you've been going over there.
This was my second year, but, like, with the Black Lion Collective, like, they've gone, like, 3 years. So, they tattoo, like, the security guards who work, like, the convention and everything.
Yeah, they do be ass. Even the security guards, yeah.
Right. Well, what type of work you normally do when you go out there?
I did a cover up when I was out there the first day, and I also did like some of my flash pieces. Like the girl, her first tattoo that she scheduled was a cover up of like a small tattoo that she had gotten before, and it was just like a blue rose. Okay. But then she like looked through my flash book and she was like, actually, I want to get this, and it was a Princess Peach crown on top of it. So it was kind of like a sleeve by the end of the weekend.
Okay. So does most of your flash consist of like the nerdy, like, video games, or it's just kind of like all around?
I do like a lot of nostalgia pieces. Okay. Like, I feel like that's why I'm into Bratz so much. It's because I just like a lot of my stuff is Lisa Frank-ish. It's a lot of like Bratz. It's a lot of like early 2000s cartoons. Like,
what's one of your favorite? Like cartoons
In general, like I'm an Avatar: The Last Airbender, big fan.
Did you like Korra as well?
I did. You can hear like the. But I did.
I heard it too.
Yeah, I'm like I did.
And of course. I did.
And I'm a big Nick and Cartoon Network kid. So I like a lot of that stuff, which is also like a lot of the bright, colorful things.
I definitely feel that. So I want to, you know, just kind of learn a little bit about your start and everything like that. Because you apprenticed under one of my good tattoo homies, JR.
Yes.
Shout out to JR.
Shout out.
So, yeah, you did your apprenticeship back in, 2019, 2018?
Yes. So I graduated from my apprenticeship in 2019.
It's always a little complicated, right?
It's always a story. So I started when I was 19, and so that would have been like 2015. That would have been on MLK. No, not MLK, but Memorial. I was at a Snap shop. I can't remember the name of that shop.
You was apprentice owner Snap?
No, I was. There was a dude named James Boy that I was originally under, I was over there because like I graduated from Clarkston, like I'm an East Side. So it's just like, I was over there for a while. I was there for like a year. Then I left that shop and then I found Iron Palm and I just kind of got stuck there, like thankfully. It's like, you know, in the best ways. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like I was originally under Bruh, which is JR's first apprentice.
Okay.
And then I was under JR. For 2 to 3, I think it was like 2.5 years. I always say it's 3, but he always tries to say like, no, it wasn't that long.
I said, that's a good length.
I needed a lot of work when I came.
I mean, it's good that you had that perspective and you didn't give up though. So like, would you say your apprenticeship was hard or was it like easier or what, like a mixed bag? What would you say?
It was hard for me in comparison to the world of apprenticeships. I did not have a hard apprenticeship.
I got you.
Because of the person who apprenticed me. And like, I'm so thankful of the person who apprenticed me because like, especially being a woman. Yeah, shout out to JR. Because especially being a woman like in tattooing, like I haven't heard one good story.
Right.
Like, so it's just like, I am the one good story that I've heard. So it's just like.
Now, JR solid dude.
And honestly, and that's why I always like, I put him on my back for sure. Because like, I've gone and I've like, gone to like all women shops and I've had these conversations and like these great, wonderful like artists, like there'll be great artists, horrible people. And so it's just like a lot of these women have horrible like apprenticeship stories.
That's crazy to hear. Like I do hear that a lot too about like just general like very well-known artists having like women apprentices and just treating them or, you know, abusing them in whatever way. And then even sometimes to their clients too. So yeah, I mean, you brought it up. Let's what challenges or what differences do you face as like a woman in tattooing as compared to like a man?
I think that like the play of femininity within itself, I think that in the beginning it was pushed down or it was told to be pushed down. I think that my relation to femininity when I was first starting off was shown as a weakness. And so it was just like it was soft and like things I was told at the beginning of beginning of my apprenticeship, like, you know, like I don't want to be working in a room full of women, like just things like that. Like I don't want to be in a nail salon, like I don't want to be working so those kind of things. And like just also like having to toughen up in order to fit into this room full of men who I felt like we're just as emotional as I was, but just because it came out in passion, that it was not referred to as emotion.
Yeah.
So like it was a lot of me learning how to dial myself, like dial that back so I can be understood, because a lot of it was like seen through the gaze of just being a woman.
Do you feel like you, like as a woman, you have to like dial, I guess in a way, like you said, you have to change how you normally operate to fit in?
I did for a while, and I feel like when you get your footing in tattooing in yourself, that's when you can start like, you know, doing what, like, and I feel like that's what happened. Like I had to dial back for a second in order to learn and to be able to like fit in order to get what I needed to get. And then once like, okay, like I got the basis, I'm like, okay, so I can go back to being myself and like and living in like my femininity. And like I feel like it hypered after I was able to just like live in it. And that's why I put so much effort into like my clothes and things like that, because like I felt like I lost a lot of that during my apprenticship trying to fit into it.
How
I lost more of the artist aspect versus being the, as they say, tattooist.
Yeah, because I mean, like we all hear it, like, you know, like they want us to be like, oh, if you're not a real artist, if you don't, like, if this is not the only thing you focus on, like, if it's not the only, like, if you care about the way you look, then, like, you're distracting yourself from, like, your craft, as if, like, your art doesn't spill over into everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, like, art isn't everything that I do. It's how I get dressed. It's how I present myself. It's how I wake up. So it's just, like, it, for me to separate it, it made it seem like, I don't know, like it was frivolous. Like they made it seem like it was like a frivolous thing to do.
Okay.
I get that. No, definitely. So it's like, even if something is, even though it seems simple to some people, but to you, it's like, it's such a deeper thing when you post the reels and having like, all right, this is my outfit for the week and stuff like that. It's like,
no, you're just trying to be creative and they couldn't correlate.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I think they were thinking more business side, which you was trying to do both.
Because, I mean, like, the whole mystery of it all is like, it's played. Like, nobody wants mystery anymore. Everybody wants to know their artist so intimately.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like that, like, how I present myself is one of the first ways I can tell you about who I am.
Do you feel like that's helped you build up your following and your clientele base and stuff like that?
Yes. And it's like, it's been a double-edged sword. Cause like, you know, like, of course, like, I attract people who are not just interested in my tattooing, which is like what it is. But it's just like,
I mean, before you get off that, so like, so do you track, when you say that, you mean like male clients who like try to like do, like try to holler at you basically, you know?
I mean, yeah, there's that. Like, I mean, like,
something that happens frequently.
Yeah, I mean, it used to more often, like more when I was taking like walk-ins and being in a shop, yeah, like constantly. Sense. Like there was times where it got bad, and like and so it's just like being somewhere 6 to 7 days a week at a certain schedule all the time, and like people knowing where I was.
Yeah,
and
people being able to, like, it's not hard to find.
Yeah, and pull up on me like I'm at a shop downtown for 6 years, and I worked the same schedule for like four of them. Right, so it's like it's not hard to catch me, and so it was like it was a lot of that for a second. And like, you know, when you first start tattooing, you do like your 100 first like free tattoos or whatever. And like me posting that on social media, and then like they came out the woodworks for that. I didn't know that those people were following me. So it was just like just seeing like the people that you pull out, and it's just like it is a double edged sword. And
I got you
with it all.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of double back to apprenticeship, and you said, like it took you like 2 to 3 years to kind of, and it was more so on you. Like what was the difficult part for you? Or the most difficult?
My drawing needed to get better. Needed to get way better. Like I needed to draw better.
That's real. I mean, so like, do you feel like that's something like all people who aspire to be tattoo artists?
I still need to draw better. Like it's just like I'm always gonna need to draw better, and I feel like there was like, and I appreciate I like I'm not upset for how long it took me to learn how to tattoo, because I know that I appreciate it and like I value it a lot more than I feel like maybe somebody who didn't have to go through as much.
Right. So do you feel like a lot of artists, I'm not saying necessarily all artists who go this route, but like let's say some artists who don't do the apprenticeship route, they kind of more like learn through YouTube and whatnot, do you feel like they appreciate the artistry of tattooing as much? Or I mean, it's like I don't want to like,
are you saying self-taught?
I'm like, but I don't want to say self-taught because like, because I mean, at the end of the day, you learning from somebody, right?
Like I feel like if you're doing it well and if you're doing it long enough, like you don't stay self-taught.
Right.
Like, you know, like if you're doing what you're supposed to do, like even if like if you're learning from people on YouTube, you're still learning from people on YouTube.
Exactly. Somebody has to put something out.
Like you're always learning. And then like you go into another room and you go talk to other artists, like you're still learning from those other, you're talking to those other artists. So therefore, I just feel like you never stay self-taught. And I feel like even if you don't go like the typical like apprenticeship route, like you still need to talk to other artists. Like I value people who have seen their tattoos heal longer than I've been tattooing. So it's just like I've only been tattooing for like 5 years, and it's just like people have been tattooing for 10 years. They have a like get to see their stuff heal, like, which is what we want all of our stuff to do, is the longevity part. So it's just like, why would I not value their experience?
No, exactly. So would you say getting an apprenticeship is more luck, or is it more like persistence, work ethic? Because that's something I always kind of ask myself. So
JR hates luck. It's so funny. Like I'm big. I think luck is a thing. I think that there is, that it's luck to a certain extent. And then like, of course, like drive and wanting, like a girl at the last show, cause I always get a lot of like young women come up to me and ask me how to get started. Especially at shows and stuff. And like, she was like, you know, how do I like go into this? And I'm like, go and talk to people, like go to the, like, she's like, I have a portfolio. I was like, yeah, take your portfolio to places, like take them like inconsistently, like maybe you got to bug them a little bit, like, you know, like, yeah, like bug them. And she was just, I was like, yeah, they want to see that you really want this. They want to see that you're dedicated to like learning something or the craft, and then they can invest that time into you. And so like, without like realizing that dedication, like they're not going to want to spend that time with you. And she was like, oh, and I felt like I told her something that like clicked for her, but I was like, I felt like that was like so simple. Nah,
you'll
like,
be surprised.
Yeah,
like, no, you'll be surprised.
Yeah, that's why I say some of it, it's hard. It's hard. Like some of it is luck, like you said, but some of it is just like you said, the work ethic, the persistence. Because like I know people who will ask like one time and then give up. You know, like I tried to find an apprenticeship. I asked this one shop, said no. So I was like, fuck it. I'm like, all right, that's it. Like you got one no, you gonna give up like that? So I mean, what do y'all think? Like, it's more luck, or is it more just like?
For me,
I'd say more. I say it with anything, honestly. 80% like persistence, and then you probably like the risk. Like, look,
because I mean, I definitely say like
Because RNG, you can, like, oh, the first shop you go to, they accept you. But then other RNG is like, you got to go to 100 other shops right. before you get that one year. Exactly. So.
But at the same time, your situation, you came all the way from Mississippi. Like, so to me, yeah, you had some RNG in asking the shops, right? But you also took the drive to move from a whole nother state.
Yeah.
Just to pursue something.
But I did also have to ask shops for a whole year first.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's one of my first shops.
Right. So it's like, to me, it's more persistence than anything, I feel like. Because, you know, a lot of people will kind of say, like, all right, yeah, it's, you lucky you got an apprenticeship. I can't get one. I didn't have one. I'm like,
I'll say the RNG part did you try for me like, was you opening up, like, not even 10 miles away from my where yeah. I was living at the time. I was like, oh, this shop went here. Fuck it, let's try it. Roll the dice.
Right.
Been here ever since.
Shit, I mean, my whole story, like, all right, do you know Dame? Back in our, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay, okay. All right. Shout out to Dame, even though, you know, that's...
Yeah.
All right. But the reason I bring Dame up, my story how I got apprenticeship is through Dame.
Okay.
So, and you want to know, like, everything kind of happens
to
us. I'll tell the story.
All right, all right. Tell them the whole story.
Let me tell my orange story.
I was like, okay, wait.
So... All right, so again, when I first started tattooing, I started off the self-taught route, right? And this is back in like 2011, 2012. It wasn't like a lot of YouTube tattoo knowledge out there. It was just like one or two channels that gave you a little bit of info. So obviously, I wasn't good. So, you know, and I went to a few shops, but you know, I went to like the bigger name shops like City of Ink, West End, stuff, asking for apprenticeship. Obviously, like, you know, me, my art wasn't that good back then, and they already had like some dope artists. So I was like, I wasn't going to get accepted back then. So I was just kind of like trying other shops, looking, still working on my stuff. But long story short, one day, so I'm actually pulling up to get tattooed at a guy. Like, this guy is, he's a, I guess you call him a scratcher, right? He tattoos at his crib, but he was a decent artist. And it's at this apartment complex, right,
where I live,
right? Crazy story, right? Mm-hmm. Apartment complex where he currently lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and it's a gated community. So, long story short, I usually just follow people in without putting a code, because, like, it was a weird situation. He didn't have access to the phone to like, let me in, so I always just to follow people. One day, the person in front of me didn't want me to follow. So, me being young, I was, like, 21, whatever, but hot-headed, right? I kind of, you know, gently tapped the back of his car. So, I'm thinking, all right, he moves forward, like, bet he's going to go in now, I'm going to follow. Then I didn't realize it was a security guard, or what I thought was a security guard, in the other side the whole time we saw everything. He's, like, flagging us down, looking pissed. So I just basically, like, reversed out of there and tried to, like, get out of the complex. But he knows, like, this apartment complex is, like, three complexes in one.
Yeah.
You got to go up, down a big hill.
It's one way in, one way out.
Yeah. And it's, like, I basically get stuck at the bottom. And that guy wasn't a security guard. He was actually a police officer who had a car. And so he pulled up behind me. I go to jail. So, in jail, and you know, the holding cell, whatever, of course, you with like 20, 30 other dudes. I meet a guy who's handing out his business card. He's a tattoo artist. I'm like, bro, I want to be a tattoo artist. So, yeah, my name is Dane. This is Dane. So, so it's how I meet Dane the first time.
Both y'all in jail,
right?
And now business card,
right? And yeah, he's hustling. I give him that,
always is.
And then, so basically, Dame is, I tell him, Dame, you know, like, yeah, bro, I'm serious about this. Like, and of course, he's thinking, like, whatever, bro. But I name dropped, like, some tattoo machines that, at that time, like, only, like, someone who was serious. Like, you know, I think it was, like, Mickey Sharps and some other stuff. It's like, oh, you actually know about them? Like, okay, I see you actually, like, you want this. So it's like, all right, when you get out, come meet me at the shop. We'll hang out and we just talk. And then, sure enough, I go to the shop maybe like a week later, and for a month, I just go there, and I just hang out, draw, whatever, help out. And then, another long story short, when the artist quit, and then the owner of that shop was like, you want to go apprentice? It's your opportunity. So I took it. And, I mean, like you said, you never know, like, how you're going to get in. Like, it's just, you just got to keep trying.
Never had to go to jail.
Right. Sometimes you gotta go to jail, you know. So,
a little bit.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, my luck was definitely like.
That's the RNG,
past.
Bro.
What kind of generator is that?
We're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I talk to God on that.
Send him to jail.
So, anyways, let's back to convo at hand. So, like, one last thing about apprenticeship. Like, if you, you kind of brush over already, but, like, outside of just persistence, like, is there any one major piece of advice you can give to someone who's watching this who wants the apprenticeship, especially, you know, a young girl or a woman who wants to get into it? Like, what's something else that you give them that that could help them? Just
showing initiative. Like, that was always a thing that was honestly, like, a problem for me, because, like, I'm, like, a follow direction kind of person. But, okay, like, showing initiative about stuff, because it's, like, a lot of it, like, is ties in with itself about their consistency. But just, like, showing that you, like, that you really want it, because that's what they want to be shown.
Right.
So it's just, like, yeah.
No, that's, yeah, basically, like,
just get out there and hustle. Yeah,
be not serious.
Just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like I definitely, like, after, like, JR came a couple of times, he's like, dang, she's still sitting on that couch, huh? Like,
right.
I guess she just gonna keep on coming.
Nah, like, just be annoying sometimes. Like,
it really is.
Yeah, bring your sketchbook, just come in the shop. Don't be annoying to where they're gonna kick you out of the shop, but just be that fly on the wall.
Because, like, when I, like, originally walking past, like, I was going, like, Spins, it used to be on Peter Street, and I was gonna put my art up in Spin. And, like, I was supposed to meet the manager and stuff, and he stood me up that day. Dang. And so I just had a big-ass portfolio and just, like, walking, like,
that's
down.
That's how JR met you?
That's how I saw the shop, and my phone died, like, right outside the shop. And I was like, well, dang, I'll go inside the shop and charge my phone, and
that's crazy.
Never left. Like, okay. I started hanging out with Binky and all of them. Brett was all there. And yeah,
like you said, a little bit of luck. But it didn't happen unless you took the initiative to go put your artwork up at Spence. So it's like, it all kind of like, a little initiative kind of puts you in the right spot.
For sure, putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I saw so many people like throughout my apprenticeship, like start, quit. Like you saw so much of it, just like people not panning out, and especially after how long mine was. Like, I just saw a lot of turnover. And I just remember, like, one of, like, the older artists, Sketchmo, he was just like, you gonna keep on seeing him. He was like, it's like a revolving door. Like, you just gonna keep on seeing him coming in and out, but make sure you stay. And I was like, all right.
That's what's up, man. I like to hear the success stories.
Yeah.
So, I know it's kind of shifting subjects, but we kind of already opened up that convo. But I know you and another artist, CJ, recently created a...
Safe space.
What is it? Like, tell us about it.
So it's like an organization that we're having to basically just create a community for the women tattoo artists, primarily Black women tattoo artists and women of color.
Mm-hmm.
But just like to give us like a space to be able to talk to each other, to build community, to like, so like the younger ones can like reach out to the older ones and see like, you know, like the stuff that you like, what's regular to put up with and like what's a little too far.
Yeah, that's important. Like, that's really important.
What's a little too far? Because a lot of the times when you're so young and you're so eager, this happened to a lot of us, like just being so young and so eager and wanting it so bad, we took a lot more stuff than like, it was just too far. Like, it was just like, you know, like this has nothing to do with tattooing. Like, like, it's just like, it's not even about if I want it. Like, it's not like this has nothing about, like, this is like, borderline abuse. Like, it's just like,
no, it is.
It's like,
it's not even border.
Like, I'm like, yeah, let me, like, this is too far. So it's like having those conversations with those like younger tattoo artists and like being able to tell them like, you know, like this.
You gotta reassurance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like, okay. Or like, you know, nah, you just need to buckle down a little bit. Like, you know, like, nah, they like, they mean shit. So it's just like having that kind of community and like also like just, I'm really interested in like not personally mentoring because I don't feel like I'm at that point yet in my career, but just like connecting younger artists with people who can mentor them and who are in that space to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing just like our last one was a critique. We're doing next week for Earth Day, we are doing basically like a sustainability for like tattoo artists. So like we have like it's a sponsored event that we're doing with Debbie Snacks. And yeah, it's just about like they have like all of the recyclable like things that we can use in our stations and stuff in our setups and stuff, just to try to help the earth a little bit, because we do, with trying to be so sanitary, we do promote a lot of, we do a lot of waste. So it's just like,
so like what, like you have particular products that are recyclable for tattoos?
We don't produce them, but like they, we have a couple of companies that we bought for and that we're giving out gift bags and stuff for. I can't think of their names right now, but just like the company, there's a company that does like recyclable razors made out of recyclable materials. And that's the same people who do like the paper ink cups that are made out of like recyclable materials and just like little stuff like that, that can just help reduce our waste. Because we do so much, but at the same time, like we kind of have to do a certain amount to do to be as sanitary as we are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's what's up, man. That's great to hear. So what other types of ventures or events do you guys plan on holding in the future for the Safe Space?
In the so far, it has been like our own meetings have just been like all women. But in the future, we do want to open up and kind of have like a forum between like the men and the women of the industry, so we can kind of so we can kind of like figure out like, okay, what can we, what are the problems that we are presenting, what are the solutions that we can also present, and like how we can help each other. Because like I just personally, like outside of the Safe Space, like I don't want us to just like, I don't want it to be like, oh, women over here and the men over here kind of thing. Gotcha, I want us to be able to be able to be in an industry like together. And especially like as Black people, like we shouldn't have to like be separate amongst ourselves. And so it's just like, if we can create the respect amongst each other within the industry and like find out where those like lines are and like hold the people who are causing the problems accountable, like, you know, we can progress and like we won't be like the stereotypical like tattoo shops that like we all know and fear. Right. So just a better future for our industry.
I definitely respect that. And I'm definitely looking forward to like whenever you guys have that come together kind of convo. Like so far, like how many like people have kind of like came out to support?
At different meetings it's a different rates, because like I said, like all of the meetings are just different things. A lot of like we've done like tat and paints, like we've had like fake skin days and stuff like that, like so it's just like different events. And of course, like with us being all artists, we all have different schedules, so like everybody everybody doesn't consistently come to like every meeting, but we have about like 20 odd members now that who go in and out. But we're still trying to expand to different states and stuff like that. So like our community is growing, online for sure. Make sure you guys follow at the Safe Space. Like it's growing, and I'm very appreciative for the community that we're creating.
That's dope. So, definitely wish y'all, the best of luck, and, we definitely support wherever we can. But it's crazy just to hear that, like, so like you said, like all women that you know in tattooing have a story.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, is it, do you feel like it's more so from the hands of like mentors or just even just fellow like male artists at the shop, or is it a thing?
Yeah. I mean, cause like it'll be like the fellow guys at the shop, but there's always going to be a worse thing when there's a power dynamic.
Okay.
And so like when there's a power dynamic in the midst of like, of it all, it makes it a lot worse, especially when like these people, like when you come into the industry so young, and it's just like, and these people are just like young and vulnerable, and like they just want to do anything they can to be able to make it. And of course, those people are just like taking advantage of.
No, that makes sense. It's like music industry.
And like you just get caught up. Like when we first started the Safe Space, like it was one of the conversations that I was having consistently at these conventions when young women would come up to me talking about like learning, like trying to get into apprenticeships, and me having to always warn them and like having that on my heart that if I didn't warn them that I was doing them a disservice, it's just like, like if I don't tell you what I know is true, then it's just like I'm just sending you out for the slaughter. It's just like I was blatantly telling them like find somebody who does not want to sleep with you. Get a hint of it, go. It's nothing you could do there. Like it's just like, because like you have to find someone who's not interested in you like that, because like that will change the dynamics of the thing. Like the first apprenticeship that I had, I was there for a year, and out of nowhere the dynamics changed and it got weird and I had to go. And so it no longer was about tattooing, and so it was like I have, and having being around so many women in the industry who have that story, it was like, I have to make sure that they're aware of that
right.
being mm-hmm. a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I mean, if you're a male tattooer, bro, just, like you said, just stop trying to, yeah, be cool, man. Like, it's more than...
say, just treat them like an adult, don't worry. Right. That's it.
Like,
I don't know, man, but hey, that's... It's a lot of people who got into tattooing.
Oh, yeah. Before
tattooing, they wasn't, you know...
That's a conversation.
Yeah, they hold kind of persona and ego kind of
wanted to use the talent to give the bad decisions that they wanted to do.
So look at me, I'm cool.
I mean, and, like, I even, like, as the younger woman in the thing, like, I didn't make the best decisions. And, like, I didn't... Like, I could have been better in the way that I handled things. And, like, I had to learn a lot of those things. But, like, coming in the industry at 19, 20 years old, like, that, you're going to see that growth. Yeah. You're going to see those problems. You're going to see, like, over time, like, how all that happens. And, like, that's why I think that it's really special for us to, like, be able to talk to the younger women in, like, the safe space and mm-hmm. stuff about, like, you know, what exactly the industry is and, like...
So, would you think you'll take on, like, in a safe space, like... women who aren't tattooing yet but want to tattoo?
For sure. Like, it's definitely, like, a space for, like, creatives in general. So, like, we're looking at people who we talk to people who aren't particularly tattooing but still are in, like, creative spaces and stuff like that.
Yeah, so.
They do, like, cool stuff with us and things, and we're definitely open to them, like, coming to meetings and stuff because, like, the art community within itself is pretty tight-knit in Atlanta in general. So it's just, like... Yeah. A lot of us know each other.
No, that's true. It's a small, small world.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Yeah. All right. One last thing about, I guess this subject in general, but I know we kind of brought it up a little bit earlier, but so do you feel like all women tattoo shops, do you feel like that's like a thing that could be a solution, or do you feel like it also creates a different kind of problem dynamic?
I've guest spot at an all woman shop, and it was fun. It was great. Like, I didn't have a problem, but I was also there for like 3 days.
Gotcha.
So, like, I haven't had a full, like I wouldn't have been able to, like, tell you from an experience of working there consistently. Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm pretty sure they have their problems, like all the other shops. Right. Like, I don't see, like, an all woman shop being the exception. But I, like, for me personally, I you're not gonna shove me off into an island by myself. Like,
you,
like me personally, like I'm gonna make space for myself at the table.
Right. No matter where you at.
I have to. Like, yes. And honestly, like I kinda wanna be at the table you don't want me at. So it's just I want to scoot over. But that's me personally. I know that a lot of women in the industry, like, they're tired of like the back and forth and like having to like, and even like sometimes like even the men who don't do the things that are the problem, like a lot of the like not saying anything to other men and a lot of the like just letting things happen and just kind of just being like, oh, well, not my problem type things. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like being around that kind of environment is tiresome. And I know a lot of them are tired of it. So like I understand the need for it or the want for it. Like I just heard somebody say that like, they're not taking male clients after 7 p.m. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, just like,
yeah.
And all the women in the shop were like, yeah. Like, yeah. We all were
I agree.
Yeah.
The only way I understand, like, if another tattoo artist guy is here, they'll usually, like, pass 7 p.m. Yeah. But if they feel like they the last one, nah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I've definitely had clients, like.
Because it's still the outside world. Let's not confuse business in here and then think. Is nothing going to happen outside.
We didn't have to play bouncer. Not really like it, but we know we had to kind of like.
There's a couple of people I had to turn away.
No, JR has played bouncer. Like, there's definitely been texts like, hey, like, I'm about to tattoo this dude. Don't leave the room. Like, I'm like just stay in the vicinity. Like, don't go too far. So it's just like, I personally don't think that it's like the only solution, but if it is like, a temporary solution, definitely, and in like, you know, in certain situations where like people are very just tiresome and like there are things that have happened, I understand why they go for that route.
The reason why they did this.
Like, I mean, like, you know, like, you can only take so much. You've been in the industry for 10 years. You're over it. Like, yeah, you're over it. And plus, sense. Like, being in these shops and being, like, the only woman in these shops for, like, 6 years. The only woman in these shops for, or one of two women. And there's a lot of, like, tokenism when it comes to those things. Because, like, when you're, like, the only woman in that shop for a long time and then they bring in another woman, it can kind of feel like, okay, so is there room for two of us? Like, and honestly, no, like...
This is a situation that's oddly specific to our shop. It's just, that's why we
Hey, look, you know what? I tried to hold my smile. I really did. I really did. I really did.
It happens, though, but, like...
I'm over here, gears turning and shit.
I mean, you bring in a very real perspective there.
But, like, and that's why, like, we play into it, too, to a certain extent, but it's also, like, the conditioning of the industry. And, like, the industry has taught us that there isn't a lot of room for us and that there is only so much space for us in it. So it's just, like, I feel like, especially when I was a younger tattooer, like, the older women who I was experiencing wasn't the nicest to me. But it also, like, felt like... It felt like I might have been coming for that one spot. Right, like they weren't hiring. Like I said, like the men were saying that they didn't want to work in a nail salon. They didn't want to work in a hair salon. They didn't want to work with a whole bunch of women. So if they're saying all of that, and then there's another woman coming in who's younger and who's learning all these, who's trying to
ready
learn
to get
all
this it
stuff. Exactly. And I'm showing all this like initiative. All this go getter and like they're calling Jane for everything. And gotcha, so it's just like gotcha. You create this competition in between these people. And it's like, and it's not even her fault for feeling bad, for feeling threatened, because you've made it seem like there is not room for enough of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I mean, if you're listening, Emily, don't you worry. There's enough room for more at this shop, at least.
Exactly. Like, don't worry. Like, just a little confirmation, like just a little reassurance.
I'm over here. God damn, girl.
Just a little reassuring.
Be like, where the fuck is this coming from?
All I care about is hustling. Like, it ain't, it don't matter what you got between your legs.
But I get it. Like, it's certain shops definitely, you know what I'm saying, they might be like, oh, it's only one woman per shop or this and that. But I'm always like, look, as long as ain't no drama, male or female, it don't matter. Just
complain.
You good here.
Complain about you getting money.
That's
it.
Right.
That's it.
But, of course, you know, not shit. It's, every shop is different, right? So...
Hustle.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
But, okay. So let's shift a little bit then. I want to talk about your tattoo style, because artists now searching, or I mean, it's always going to be artists searching for how to create their own unique kind of look and stuff like that. And we kind of touched on it earlier that, you know, you're very into like certain influences like Bratz Dawes and Lisa Frank and stuff like that. So, and then I could tell it translates to your tattoo work. You know, you do very colorful pieces, and especially on brown skin tones too. So how did you like land on that? Like, did you work on a lot of different styles and just kind of formed your own, or you just kind of started from that point? Like, what was your route?
Well, apprenticing under JR, he would have never let me just go directly into one direction. I guess it was just like I've always been that, having like that kind of bubbly like art style in general. And I also think that's why my apprenticeship took so long, is because I came from that and trying to kind of break that. And JR is a realism artist, so it was just like,
where we had to meet
like for him to like see where I was going, I had a lot of like room to make up. Gotcha. And so it was like in order like for my stuff to not be as cartoony in like all the time. And I do a lot more tattoos than what I post. I just post what I would like to do more of. I post
that's
what I like.
80% of the industry.
I post what I want to do more. They're like, oh, you don't do. I do. Mm-hmm. But like, we not bragging about that. Like, but it's just like, I go into a lot of the art stuff with the idea of it being colorful and stuff in general. So that's just where it comes from. And then it rolled into what it is now. But I feel like I started out at a very, just learning, very traditional, and just learning everything and taking a lot of walk-ins and like all of that stuff, and then trying to figure out what I like to do more. And I think, like I said, I like to sit at tables that like I'm not invited at. So I just pushing like the color on black skin, and just like having those conversations all the time, and like trying, like my whole career has been having those conversations and trying to change that narrative that like people, black people can't get color.
So, go ahead. No, I don't want to interrupt you, but like since we're on that, like can we shift a little more technical side? Like what have you found works on black skin, and what have you found like is like not like we got to kind of work around this or do a different method?
I'm still working it out. I'm always going to be working it out. I am learning now that I've known before, but I guess like just
you got to learn the hard way.
Yeah, sometimes. Type shit. Yeah. Like I need to leave more open space in my tattoos. Like that's just something that like at this very moment that I'm trying to work on in my stuff and just having like that space. Like JR is always talking about stuff being bigger and like I always push for bigger, but I've been pushing it harder. Right. Like
sometimes you might just have to kind of like blow it up in the back and then, you know,
for sure. And then like, you know,
CJ did that like real one time.
Yeah.
He's like, can you make it so small? Went to the back.
Just cut around.
And then like you go look at it in the mirror and you say it's perfect, like it's all good. Like I'm just like, you approved of it at the end of the day. And I'm just like, because sometimes the paper is daunting and like just like, oh, like it's on the paper, it's like it's too big, but I'm like, nah, let me put it on your body. Like you need it to be this size. Yeah, just like having those conversations. And I feel like teaching the client a lot more teaches me also within myself.
Yeah.
Nah, definitely. You do a lot of different types of art too outside of tattooing. Do you feel like that kind of helps just cultivate that style even more too? Because like I see you like you make pillows. You is it like sculpting or paper mache or what?
I do sculpt. Yeah, sculpting. I sculpt.
What else? Like painting, obviously.
Yeah, paint. I sculpt. Yeah, I do. I do a lot.
What was your first art medium before like you even thought about being a tattoo artist?
I would say, I guess it's painting. Like, my mom bought me an easel when I was, like, 3.
Okay.
So, I was like, yeah. Like, I've been an artist, like, a while.
Right.
But, like, I've always felt like, I don't know, like, I feel like everybody's been an artist for a while.
Yeah. What's your favorite medium, then?
It depends on my mood, but I if I had more time to devote to it, I feel like it would be sculpting.
Okay. Like, how long have you been sculpting now for?
Like, I feel like I started, when I was in elementary school, there was they had like a little thing, and then like Cake Boss and stuff like was doing flowers. When I started to learn how to do like flowers, because they were like doing fondant, and I was watching that in like middle school, high school. So it was just like they were doing flowers of fondant. I was like, oh, that's a petal.
I know nothing about sculpting. Like, if you don't mind me asking, like out of ignorance, like, so what materials can you sculpt out of? Like,
I particularly sculpt out of clay, but like it'll be like a sculpty or like just like a doll clay. Sometimes like if I'm working on, sometimes I redo dolls. And if I'm like trying to change like the face or anything, that there's like a specific doll clay that dries like air and you don't have to like bake it or anything. And then like Crayola makes like a little like air dry clay that I use for shit sometimes. Like, it just like just for like products, like it cracks a lot more than a lot of stuff, but it works for a good amount of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I like a lot of mixed media, and I feel like it all like helps each other. I think a lot of the times in my apprenticeship, I was told like not to spread myself too thin with doing a lot of things and just to focus on tattooing. But I feel like a lot of the stuff like helped each other. For like when I started, like when I first started tattooing, like I was using like a foot pedal, and like I also like I knew how to sew before, and like in sewing you use foot pedals and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like having that hand foot like thing, so it was just like it all touches, like it all kind of touches each other. Yeah, right, like
you know what a foot pedal is these days.
I mean, like I didn't use it for long, but I did have.
At least you got that experience a little.
Yeah,
like I did. No, that's dope. So I guess, yeah, if you're a younger artist listening, just, like, shoot, do everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, even if you think you stretch yourself, then, like, just, obviously, like, the end goal is to all come back to tattooing, right?
For sure.
If that's what your focus is. Yeah. But
and sometimes you can pull ideas from other stuff, too. Oh, yeah.
And you want to make money without tattooing, man.
Yeah.
You do. Right, yeah. Like, I love tattooing, but, like, I just, like, for me, sometimes it's just, like, I'm not going to force it to do what it doesn't want to do sometimes.
Right.
Like, but I still gotta pay bills. Like, exactly. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I love tattooing, and sometimes I tattoo for free all the time.
Right.
So it's just
those are like your passion projects.
Yeah. So it's just I'll just hit up somebody that I know who I like to tattoo who sits well. And I just I've been tattooing bullshit all week. Just give me I want to do something good. Please.
That is something
it's nice to know you do it and it doesn't really, you don't do it for the money. That's one thing I've trained myself to do, not do it for the money.
Right. Because it does after a while, you kind of, you get the, artists who are very lucky who can,
who can do both.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Make a lot of money doing their own thing, but
it's a small percentage. Yeah, it's a very small percentage. It's in a single digit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lot of them.
People don't really know outside of tattooing is, like you said, a lot of times you're going to have to make your bread and butter doing the stuff that isn't, what you're, want, what you want to be known for, your custom, stuff. So it can't be, very... It can burn you out after a while, I would say, if you don't have, other avenues. So that's definitely a great point. You want to have some source of income from other places.
It's all about balance.
That way you can enjoy tattooing more.
Them tattoo pillows at them conventions.
Yeah, how's that?
They're just solid. And it's good. And it's good to be making money while I'm, making money.
How'd you get into making the tattoo pillows?
Really, it just started kind of as a necessity. I just kind of was all right, so I just need to prop up the leg a little bit. And then we put the plastic on paper towel rolls and to prop the neck up and stuff like that. And I've always had a sewing background because my aunt is a seamstress. So it was just kind of okay, well, I can do that. And I was just get the material that you can medicide and you can clean off well. Okay, that makes sense. And then it was just it just kind of went off from there. And it's been doing well. And I appreciate everybody who's gotten one.
Shout out.
And
all the clients who bought one, our artists.
Very nice people.
I got to get one myself.
So. Yeah, man, I should have brought some. But And, I got a couple of, hairdressers who use it and, nail artists and stuff like that. Yeah, so, it's good. Yeah.
That's smart.
For sure. I want to get into more into, making tattoo products and stuff. I want to get into welding so I can make some of, the beds and armrests and things like that. Yeah,
that'd be dope.
Yeah. I like doing trades.
Yeah, right. that's smart because, you're always going to – I feel like trades is very, unappreciated kind of a –
For sure.
Form
but it has that grit.
Right. I mean, because you're always going to need trades, mm-hmm. You need welders, you need people who can sew. And
everybody trying to run away from the blue-collar jobs.
Right.
Go for it.
I was I've always wanted to, speak at schools and stuff, as a tattoo artist, because I just feel like we weren't given, the list of jobs. There was so many jobs, and I feel like they gave us, the first page of the list. It's just they're just okay, well, these are what you have to choose from.
You feel like you ever, just, go be, an art teacher for a year or, substitute?
That's what I was in school for. I was going to be an art teacher. At first I was in journalism and marketing, and then I switched over to be an art teacher, and that dropped out. But
they did shut me down when I said I wanted to be an artist in some type of field. They was like, you're going to be an architecture. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's what they told me, too. And I was just have you seen my master's?
Hey, man.
That's all they knew.
Make logos.
But I never fault them for that because that's a different mindset. It's somebody
the
don't
previous
think
generation
that way.
Definitely is more of I get it. They're worried about having a sustainable income.
Yeah, that's the mind, and that's a different mindset.
But I was hearing it from I have an uncle who's an artist, and I was hearing it from him because he went to school and he did the art thing, and it didn't pan out how he wanted it to, and he has a successful job. Don't get me wrong if I quote it wrong, but he basically does the architecture of the planning for plumbing and government buildings in the city. And so it's artsy, but it's not
it's very technical.
So it's just he's just he was go to school for something mathematical, going to STEM, I'm I am not a STEM girl. And so it's just but I think that trades is definitely a thing that needs to be pushed more with younger people.
Definitely. Of course, end of the podcast with our normal kind of rapid fire question segment. So it's going to be a lot of just questions.
You should have a sound effect for guns.
Right. Yeah, so I don't even remember what.
Random noise. We don't know what it is.
They'll be quacking and stuff.
All right, so let's just go ahead and get into it. So simple one first. Coils or rotaries?
Rotaries.
Rotaries, okay. You want just easier to use, you feel like?
I mean, yeah, and like my hand is smaller.
Yeah, that's a good reason. Like, yeah. It's saves the hand and wrist mm-hmm. for the arthritis, you would say.
Yeah. But I do a lot of artsy stuff. Yeah.
Nah, you need that. That's right. All right. Black and gray or color?
Color.
Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
That'd be a shock when you say black and gray. Exactly. Oh, wow.
Do surprisingly.
I do black and gray. I never post it. Yeah.
Like, even like realism, black and gray realism?
Yeah, like, yep.
You gotta post one time.
I do.
Do you post it on your story?
Nope.
Oh.
Dang. I was like, I'll post them on my tattoo portfolio page. Like, I have a tattoo
portfolio. Oh, okay.
And, like, just tattoos, like, for the people who like it like that.
That's smart.
And on TikTok, I just post anything.
Yeah.
All right. Drawing on paper or the iPad?
Paper first. Always.
Okay. Okay. Just better feel or just?
Better feel.
Yeah.
I can't sketch on an iPad.
No, I definitely feel that. All right. So, if you could only tattoo one style for the rest of your career, what it would be? It could be like a general style. It don't have to be like a super.
Neo-trap.
Okay. Why neo-trap?
I feel like I can do a lot in there. Okay. Like, it's just I can do a lot in there.
Like you could be on the edge of both, because you could be like, it's not really realism.
Yeah, like, you can throw a little bit of realism in there, and then they're like, I'm still in there.
I like that. I like that one. All right. You prefer conventions or guest spots?
Conventions.
Okay. Why?
Yeah.
More artists to meet, or?
Yes, more artists to meet, and I like seeing, like, other people tattoo. And like meeting people whose work I admire.
That's right.
Like, that's a big thing for me.
A lot of times, conventions, you can see the big name artists.
Yeah, you know, so. Like, and a lot of the small names. I just be liking people. Like, right. Just be like, it's
work. Get to see the tattoo homies.
Yeah.
You prefer a walk-in shop or a private studio? You've done both, so.
Oh, darn. Private studio.
Like, I
like.
You just gonna go walk-in.
Yeah,
shop.
I'm sorry.
Why the private studio?
Just like the clientele and being a woman, like,
That makes sense.
And so it's just like
kind of environment.
Yeah. Safer.
That is true. All right. If you could tattoo anywhere in the world, where would it be?
That's so hard.
Yeah, that's tough.
I want to go in somewhere in Africa.
Okay, you got it.
But I wouldn't, I would like specific country. I'll say Kenya.
Kenya, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I'll go for Kenya.
All right, bet. Any particular reason or that you chose Kenya over?
I feel like I would like to see, like, I would like to see, like, their traditions of, like, tattooing.
That's dope. All right. Least favorite style of tattoo?
Cyber sigilism.
I like that one.
I like that I smiled before she even.
How you feel about that, bro? Now, that's our resident cyber sigilism artist right here. We throw it all time.
You know, we're getting out that word really is getting out. They saying I don't like it. I'm like, like, dang.
I'm sure you heard about
shit,
that.
This shit on the streets. I'm like, this shit made it to the streets. It's crazy.
It's not a bad look. It's just my brain has to work different for it.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even have to try.
Known, that's the brain working different for it. Right.
I know I should put this line in solid, but I guess I shouldn't.
Don't do that.
That's crazy. All right.
I didn't know who invented that. Like, if you ever see this video,
I don't know. Talk to you. Y'all randomly come across like tattoo artist pages on Instagram where it's like, their style is
need to meet that person.
I don't even know how you explain it, but like bad tattoos, but like they're very
probably
popular.
A good
they
person
like
in real life.
1,000 followers.
I need to meet you.
And I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, what's, but I don't know. It's new generation.
It's art, bro. You know, it's the artist's objective.
That's always the answer.
I need to meet you. I don't care if we don't even speak the same language. I need to meet you. We need a translator or something.
Sometimes it'd be looking cool, I guess.
I mean, if it's done, I'm always like, if it's technically done well, I'm not going
to
be like.
But you're not supposed to technically do it well, see? Like, that's the thing. I don't know.
I've seen some technically done well cyber sigilism.
Okay.
But I guess it probably wouldn't even count as cyber sigilism.
Are we talking about like.
At that point, it's just.
Wait. I'm not going to say.
If the lines are good, then like that doesn't do it, right?
It's like, it's just tribal.
I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say the style because I ain't going to disrespect the style. But is it like, are you saying kind of like how Christians trying to get that cover up style.
Nah. That's dope.
That's kind of like that grimy shit.
Nah, man. That's still done technically well.
Yeah, that's good.
Like bio-organic.
Nah. Well, that's clean.
I'm talking about like, all right, I have to show it to you afterwards, but like,
all right, bro.
I came across the dude's page where it's just like, he'll tattoo random like lyrics on people, but it's like
done bad
yeah. on purpose because they want like that. Distressed look, I guess. Oh. But it's like, it's done in a way where when it heals, it's going to look like a scratcher did it, basically. It's not going to look like
done well distressed. I always talk about, like, the client, like, clients don't particularly want a good tattoo all the time. Like,
what we consider a good tattoo.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, we are always, like longevity-wise. Right, and, like, you know, bow will hold and stuff like that. So it's just, like,
you're right about
they
that.
Don't want always, like, a good tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I can't even argue that.
Nah, you remember Julius did the back tattoo, like the dogs doing the Last Supper?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, he really wants that.
I mean, but it was just like a painting or something, right?
No, it was outline. Like,
oh, you know what? Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
I was like,
you gotta pay bills, man.
I'll take these three tattoos right here.
If I tell you like, hey yo, like I don't think so, and then you still want to go?
Yeah. Oh, I'm running it.
Yeah,
I'm running.
Same. All right,
okay. Get my job. All
right, so favorite tattoo machine.
Very clear.
I keep on buying the battery for it, so it must be the Flux from the FK Iron.
So, have you used other brands like Bishop?
What
made you choose the Flux over them?
Honestly, like, I am not, like, a big machine head because, like, I'm more so, like, let me find a tool and, like, really, really figure out how to work it.
I got you.
Like,
yeah.
So, it's just, like, every time, like, I've had, like, a different machine, like, I've just been, like, trying to, like, the best of how to work this particular machine. I'm not, like, shopping around for machines because I know a lot of artists are very, like, shop around. I'm like, okay, how can I, like, make this work for me? And, like, because when I changed machines too much, it felt like I couldn't figure out what I was doing.
No.
And so, the consistency of the tool helps me.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah. When you switch too much, if you're like very experienced with a lot of different machines, then you can probably do that. But like, yeah, if like 5 years, 6 years in, like, nah, I would rather, like I said, master kind of one machine and then from there move on. All right. Favorite ink. We can go brand and then we can also go like color.
I do a lot of Eternal in Fusion.
Okay,
and so, like, I always get them mixed up, which, like, the particular...
You got like, that one ink that you like to put in every tattoo if you can?
Like a teal. Like a tropical teal. I love a tropical teal. Ooh, okay. Snowflake. Snowflake.
You like to mix it with, like, other colors or straight up?
Snowflake is my white. Snowflake is the only white.
Blue?
My white.
You feel like it holds better.
Oh. Yeah, that's my only white, especially like in brown skin because you get like that yellow tone that happens in white. It doesn't yellow because of the blue. Right. And so it just like, it heals like a lot better. And I use like pastels of as whites of every color. And like,
that's a gem right there.
It is. But I use pastels of whites of every color. That snowflake isn't everything, basically.
Yeah, no, I've heard snowflake. I've used it at times too, and I do like it. That's a color I always forget to buy. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like,
two of them.
I just bought two.
I need to. You gotta remind me next time.
Yeah, like a tropical tea.
I ain't got none, by the way.
Like a deep red, a pomegranate.
I barely use white.
I use white to mix, though. I don't really use
white. Yeah, that's what I mostly use it for mixing.
But honestly, mixing with snowflake would probably be better, though. Or just whatever tone, like if you mix them with a more bluish, cooler color than snowflake or a warmer color, then it makes sense. All right. Your hardest color to saturate into the skin?
Blues.
Purple guy, man. I hate purple, so.
Everybody hates purple. I don't know. Like, purple is cool with me. Blues
just.
Kicking my butt. It's so messy.
Like, I love blues. Like, I try to throw blue and everything, but purple, like, I try to avoid purple as much as I can.
See, I say the blues are hard, but I throw blue and everything. Like, teal was the favorite, was the first color, and like the snow.
I say, like, that color green.
Really?
Like, I love putting greens on people.
Yeah, I love green too.
You want yellow, right?
No, I mean, like.
Like that lime green.
Like, specifically that color green. Like,
an avocado. like the avocado. Yeah.
Like any other greens, fine.
I feel like I have better success when I mix it myself than do like a pre-mixed version of that color.
Do you mix like you mix it in the cartridge?
Yeah, like I'll have like a cap of like, let's say grass, not green, like jungle green or something, like a medium-ish.
I'm a dirty dip.
And then like
same.
A cap of
I do both, but I prefer a clean dip, like wiping them off my needle. But like if it's like a, it depends on the style I'm doing. Like if I'm doing more like a artsy kind of, more blendy kind of thing, then I'll probably dirty dip more. But if I'm doing like anime where it's like blocks of color, then like I need it to be like clean. But yeah, okay, that's blue. Definitely valid. All right, favorite needle brand?
Quadrin.
I mean, I understand. We all Quadrin people.
I'm a 14 round shader, like to the day I die. So like, I love Quadrin's 14 round shaders.
Okay. So you like lining with round shaders?
I'm not particularly.
Much more like filling in
tight, like getting in there tight.
Okay.
And like, yeah.
No, I definitely get that.
I like almost every piece that I do is a 14 round shader in there.
Okay, that's interesting. Like, what's the biggest mag you use?
If the piece, like recently I've been doing like really, really, really big, like big pieces. So I've been using like 25s for those. But like in general.
Yeah, you're normal.
Yeah, the average.
Yeah, like the average setup. It's like 11. Like 11. Like I'm like, But then that's also just the packing color, like to a certain area.
Now you got to have a lot of patience to pack a whole piece of round shaders.
Round shaders are definitely
my bad, people.
I'm tight in, and then like the smaller areas colors need to be packed is where I put my round shaders.
Smart. All right, last question. This is a new one I added. Do you think it's okay to use AI in tattoo designs? This is one of me just being. I'm just trying to stir the pot.
I was like messy. I'm not a realism artist, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, depending on the style, it can be justifiable?
Like, I'm not a realism artist. And, like, I know a lot of realism artists that do. Like, I fully render my pieces. Like, when I show my client,
color it, everything?
Yeah, like, when beforehand. My client sees, when I come to an appointment, like, it's fully
rendered. You like May. Like, I was talking to May, one of our artists here, May.
Friday.
Yeah, I was telling her, because she fully renders her designs, and then she gets, like, heartbroken when, like, they no call, no show, or don't like the design. I'm like, man, fuck that. You getting, like... If it's a custom piece, you're getting like a colored pencil sketch, like with the tones, like roughly sketched. Like,
it doesn't happen to me often, thankfully. Right. It doesn't happen to me often.
I don't know if that's real wood.
I'm like, something. Give me something. It doesn't happen to me, thankfully, often. But
that's definitely heartbreak.
I feel like I ask a lot of questions.
How do you manage your time? Yeah, it's like, okay, so you try to like eliminate.
I'm thorough. Like I talk, like I ask a lot of questions, and I think that's important. Yeah, and I'm pretty good at like figuring out, and I'm also like very like adamant, like, hey, like if you don't like my style, like. Like, say something. Yeah, like, if this is, like... Because, like I said, I do stuff out of my style. And, like, I do, like, black and gray realism and stuff like that. Like, you have to be very... Like, you have to tell me that that's what you want. Because if you don't, like, it's going to look like I did it.
Exactly.
So, it's just, like... I'm always, like, very, very communicative with my clients about those kind of things.
Not smart. Very smart. But for let's say, like, realism artists, it's not really...
It's not my favorite thing in the world.
I guess you have more of, like, a moral... issue with AI?
I really do. I really, really do. I mean, like, because, like, these are the times.
Go ahead.
It's just really, I feel like these are the times that make the difference. Like, this is, like, when they do start taking, like, other artisan jobs, because, like, ours is probably going to be, like, on the late ends of, like, being
I just can't see, I guess that's where I'm coming from, like, a privilege standpoint of being a tattoo artist first, so it's, like, I can't see AI replacing us, like, you can create designs with AI, but let's be real, like, you can't just take, like, it's very rare you could just take a straight up AI design and just slap it on skin. Like, people do it, but it looks stupid, but, like.
I just sent JR a post of a girl who got that, like, little Mona Lisa eyes, like, that from the machine, the tattoo machine, and she got those little Mona Lisa eyes, and it's been a year, since, and she sent, like, it looks exactly like it did.
My thing is this, though. Machines can only do like that type of stuff, like very like patchworky type stuff. So, and then also, like, how about different skin tones? Like, who's going to program the machine?
I'll say this. I'll be dead before that happened.
Because it was tiny. It
or I'll be retired. It wouldn't matter to me, no way.
It's the clients. Like, you really got to sit there still for that machine.
Right.
Because that machine's not
going to stop. True. Yeah, right. You know how clients be moving. Exactly. Like, you fuck around.
Like, that's how I know it's not a thing.
You're not
like,
looking at it like,
I wouldn't want to be strapped to a chair and then a machine just fucking me with needles. Like,
the biggest elephant in the room is the client, bro. They are not all going to sit there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you
like,
need somebody that's gonna stop. Like,
it's
gonna
take a while for them to get
to
us.
Let's take a break.
But like, you know, like I feel bad for the other artists. We have to stand.
You're right.
Solid. Like I feel
that.
Like, you know, like, but the people.
Think about how much money they got to go in that machine. Like, ain't nobody. They're gonna have to make a profit.
Our jobs
back
are safe,
to that.
I feel like.
Yeah.
But
like
but
the
you like
painters and stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, like the people. Like, they're not even asking people to do like cover art. I can't stand doing cover art personally. Right. But like the people who do that.
Graphic designers are probably gonna be screwed.
Yeah, for sure. They
like
will.
I can't see like. So my thing is this. Like, I do think like AI like taking from other artists and creating, you know, something that's similar to their work is messed up. But at the same time, it's like, what's the difference between AI and then like an artist who just like copies other people's styles and just like, or, you know, even like, all right, let's just say, what's the thing now? Like, you go to like anime conventions and art, there's artist vendors. They make their living just drawing anime,
reselling
characters, but just their style. But
me,
you know,
and CJ talk about this all the time.
Right. So it's like, is it morally a difference?
Wait.
I know tattoo artists who draw the anime.
All of us, all the anime tattoo artists, like, we make money off
and all.
A lot of the anime tattooers, like, I know anime tattooers who like who draw from like scratch with like their anime tattoos, like breathing rooms, like Alyssa, like
There's definitely some artists who put their own, but my thing is this,
but
is
it's still
like
it's still an existing character.
I mean,
it's not your
is.
Anime character,
but right. I mean, like, but like there's also just the doing it with your hand part. Like, if you use an AI as a reference and then you draw it, like, I'm not mad at you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm like, it's just like the whole like the action of doing it yourself, like, because you're putting yourself into it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the whole, like, AI, it takes a lot of you out of it sometimes. Yeah. And I'm like, but I know artists who are still doing, who's still getting it to happen with it. So I'm like, I'm not cut and dry on it. I just,
it's
sticky.
Yeah, it's, because it's, like you said, there's a lot of different ways to use AI, and not every artist is going to use it the same, right? Because, like, me personally, I like to use AI as references, like, so, but I never... Like I said, I never just get something straight out of AI and like, oh yeah, I can just work. I gotta like always go in and like, let me change this. Let me draw this on top of it. Like, oh, it's an extra hand. Let me take this hand out.
AI images always gonna have some fucking mistake in it.
This fucking body part doesn't belong here.
Obviously, if you're not an artist that can point that out, then you shouldn't be using it. But
it also it helps because like you can get references. Like, all right, I can get like a full body skeleton sitting in a certain pose that I can't find this reference anywhere, like, in real world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got all the way to, like, a Halloween store.
I feel like I'm losing out to a certain extent that I don't use it for certain things. Like, I do a lot of fantastical, like, surrealistic kind of things. I don't have a lot of references for those things.
Exactly,
so it's just, like, and putting it in AI might help.
It can, but I get it. It's like, you don't want to...
You want to call it yours.
Lose that personal touch.
I know where it comes from.
I get it.
Because...
It does create.
It's just something. Finally, you have something that you can call yours, and then something just comes in and just say, "I can replace you."
I take a lot of pride in the labor.
Yeah,
I do. I take a lot of pride in the labor.
Nah, there's nothing wrong with that. So I definitely.
I do agree with that.
Like,
I mean, that's why like real art should cost a lot of money, because it's so much blood, sweat, and tears that go into it. And like, you know, AR art would never kind of, it'll never have the soul of like real art. You know, so I think. The artists who are very distinct in their style, like, not even tattoo artists, I'm just talking, like, painters, whatever, like they will be okay, like, because even if you train AI to copy their stuff, like, it still won't be original, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, it's just going to weed the people out.
Right. All the, like, kind of in the middle tier artists,
right.
It gets kind of sketchy. I ain't going to lie to you. Like, they may or may not be kind of phased out. I don't know.
And, like, because if you've been copying, if, like, all you're doing is copy, if you're just a tattooer, like, you're not a tattoo artist. Like, you're just a tattooer. You're not drawing anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just copying. Like, you're a copy machine. You're good at it at this point. So, if you can use AI to continue your copying career, then, like, that's what you're going to do.
I think the best...
Some clientele will be like that. I just want this on my body.
Print it out.
Yes.
I feel like people as tattoo artists, we should be educated on AI. Like, why, whether you want to use it, implement it.
Yeah, I do agree.
Like, yeah, it's, it doesn't. I don't feel like you should.
You can still say fuck to, no, but I know
it's like, because at the end of the day, like, I always tell people, like, once that Pandora's box been opened, we can't close it. So it's like AI, like, it's gonna be here. As much as we fight it, like, we can't stop the shit. Like, so it's like we gotta know how to like evolve as in our industry with it.
It's like social media.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when social media came about and everybody was like so like, oh, I don't want to participate in right. this thing. And then it's just like you see where this thing has taken so many artists. Like now.
Any technology.
Like, yeah, like,
yeah. I remember when like iPad.
iPhone. Yeah. They iPad. Was an uproar right. about the iPad.
I remember tattoo was all like, oh, I'm not fucking with no iPad. Like
all of us.
Right. Every tattoo like, artist, everything. Rotaries, yes, like, cartridges. So it's like AI to me is just another one of those things. Like, yeah.
10 years from now, they're going to have something else to be mad at.
It's just like. Bro, if you want to fucking, like, my thing is this, like,
you don't have to use it, though. And, like, if you got the skills, like, hey, don't bother
you. But it does feel like if you don't use it to your advantage that you will be left behind. Like, it does feel like that to me.
That's the nature of the beast, though.
It's like, yeah, it's one of those, if you're a realism artist, surrealism or anything, you should definitely kind of learn how to, you know what I'm saying, implement it some way. Like, just not everything, but, like, because, like, I'll say it does give you a way to get references.
I'll say this, especially if you're already. More in that field, like learning those prompts, you'll be amazed at like what you could create with the AI versus just by your own mind. Like, right. yeah, it won't be like perfect. It gives you like a foundation and you can improve upon that. But with a normal person versus a person with an artist mind doing the AI right. stuff mm-hmm. is two different.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the key. It's like, still put yourself into the piece. Like,
yeah.
don't just be lazy and then rely on AI.
You know, Joe Schmo that don't drive.
One time.
Yeah, Joe Schmo that only do stick figures is only going to be able to put X, Y, and Z in there yeah. versus you with your artist mind. You know exactly what you want in that picture. Right. And once you put it in there, it's going to do exactly what you said.
And then from there, you can take it like, all right, I really just needed this particular part, but now I can go and take this and then add what I want to add, put my own yeah. you know, touch on it.
Them so. Tattoo artists who did them AI dolls, though, that's shame. Like the little, like the toys, yeah. like the little toys.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, I never really hop on like the, you know, it has like every month there's like an AI trend. Like, yeah. so it's like these little action figures.
It was
thing,
like
so.
An action figure. Like, tattoo like artists were just doing like action
it's
figure
like they take your
themselves.
Pictures and then like they create like an AI action figure and it's like, like in a package, toy package. Oh. You probably seen something. Like, it's one of those, you know, you probably, it's like a little AI generator, like maybe Facebook oh, okay. or some shit like that. Like, I think the previous one was, what was it?
Oh,
one?
The Studio Ghibli.
Studio Ghibli. Like, when, so, you know, it's like every month it's like a new flavor. And like, all right, next month it'll probably be, I'll turn yourself into a Simpsons character
it's
or
like,
some shit. I don't
move.
Know.
But, like, just yeah. go draw. Like, get in the booth.
Yeah.
just, no. I don't understand.
I definitely get that. So, but no, that was a great discussion. Before we end the podcast, do you have any, like, one last message you'd like to kind of end off with?
Not really.
Really? You see, you left right. it out on tape. I respect yep. that.
Right. Left it on the table.
Again, we appreciate your time. It was a great episode. And good luck to you and the rest of your tattoo career. I'm sure it's going to blossom in a safe space and all that stuff as well. It's definitely needed. So yep. we appreciate you, definitely. CJ, what y'all doing. And
so y'all get tags in there.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So it's the safe space at the dot safe space. And it's also it's created by me and CJ the artist. CEEJ
right.
the artist.
It's a and it's two A's in space, right?
Yes, oh, okay, it's yeah. two space.
Cool. I got that confused at first. So but yeah, so yeah, follow that. Support it. And again, appreciate you. And we out.